But what is Moody's man? Not man, Moody's man. We're Moody's mamen.
Yep.
We're Moody's men. But this is about magazine on RTR.
And welcome to Moorditch Mag for another week. Good to have your company here on 92.1 RTR FM. Jodie Hoffman flying solo today. Jim Morrison is in Onslow, so he's about 800 k's north of Perth. Three screenings of Genocide in the Wildflower State happening in and around Onslow, which is just fantastic news, going from strength to strength. And excited to tell you about an RTR FM hosted showing of this at Luna in Leederville. But I'll let you know more about that later in the program. Look, it's a performer's space today for the next hour on Moorditch Mag. Going to be joined shortly on the program by a fella by the name of Ash Penfold, who a local Noongar bloke and a founder of Corroboree for Life and a key contributor to this year's Ma Kujul program of First Nations art and cultural experiences that will be taking place in Rain Square. And the incredible Carla Hart joins us as well. I don't know where you start with Carla. She has so many strings to her bow, but I'm going to be excited to talk about a groundbreaking NITV documentary series that she's involved in. It's called Our Medicine, and it takes viewers behind the front line of Australia's strained medical services and shines a light on First Nations professionals and communities taking back control of Indigenous health. Also got lots of news for you and important dates coming up. May's always a busy one because it's Sorry Day, it's the start of National Reconciliation Week, and it's all in the lead up to NAIDOC Week. So we got plenty to talk about. Thanks for your company. Yeah, let's kick it off with some music. Nice laid-back vibe to kick off today's Moorditch Mag program. That was Keanu Nelson and Place Where I Go. This is the Moorditch Mag program. Good to have your company every Thursday between 11 and 12 o'clock. And always good to come into the studios of RTR FM. And nice to fill in for Jim Morrison, who's... I tell you what, the closer he gets to retirement, I reckon the busier he gets. But I was talking at the top of the show about how busy this month is. And I wanted to let you know about a couple of things that are coming up that you might want to be involved in. The 19th to the 23rd of May is actually Law Week, and it happens every year. It's organised by the Law Society of Western Australia. The theme this year is Justice, Connection and Community. So there's a swag of information and events that you can check out on the Law Society of WA website. And if you want to find out more about the Aboriginal Legal Service of WA specifically, you can head along to a free event that's happening on Monday the 19th of May between 3 and 5:30pm at City Place in Perth. There'll be an afternoon tea provided, and registration is essential, even though it's free. But you can hear from our lawyers and court officers at the Aboriginal Legal Service as they provide an insight into the ALS's 50 years of striving for justice for WA's most disadvantaged peoples. So for more information on that and other Law Week events, head to the Law Society of WA. They have a comprehensive program of events there as well. Couldn't not mention Sorry Day, 26th of May. What an important and poignant day for our mob. As always, Jim Morrison, very involved in this. There is always an event at Mort Art Wajani, Wellington Square, at the Stolen Generations Memorial. There'll be speakers. I know that school groups get along there, members of the community. Our Stolen Generations, who are resilient and strong enough to share their stories, will be there. So keep an eye out for that as well, 26th of May, Sorry Day. And it leads into National Reconciliation Week, which kicks off on the 27th of May. Day and runs for a week. And the theme for that this year is Bridging Now to Next. I'm going to welcome our next guest into the studio very shortly, Ash Penfold, but first, some music. Yeah, it's another take on the beautiful Archie Roach song, Took the Children Away, but that one is called The Children Came Back. The really important reminder that our mob did come back and our strength and resilience. And performing that was Briggs and Gurumul, beautiful Gurumul, and Dwayne Everett Smith as well. This is the Mooditj Mag program, comes to you every Thursday between 11 and midday on RTR FM. Jodie Hoffman filling in for Jim Morrison this week, and excited to introduce you to our first guest on the program today, Ash Penfold. Welcome to Mooditj Mag. How are you?
I'm really good. Beautiful. Thank you for having me.
Yay. It's great to have you in the studio. And we always ask on this program where you're from. Who's your mob?
Oh, love it, love it. So, can I do it in Noongar? Are you okay with that?
Oh, yes.
Beautiful. So, I'll say Kaya, Kaya Nyang Kwel Ash, we're Dilbert, which is the mudluck, my Boringa totem. But Nyang Nyang Mort, Garlet, Blurt, and Winmar, that's my mob there. So, we cover a lot of the south southwest.
You're not kidding.
Yeah, on my dad's side, and then on mum's side, Woods. But fun fact, I've got the Penfold there, that's my pop on mum's side. He's French as well, so a bit of a mix there.
Well, you've named some pretty big family clans there.
Yeah. Very proud of it. Very proud of it.
You're the founder of Corroboree for Life, which we'll get on to talking about. But first, I want to find out about how you first got into the arts, what inspired you and took you off into that direction.
Well, I think us as people, we're natural storytellers. When I was young, I knew I wanted to be something or someone. I just didn't know what that was. So I did my schooling, and this opportunity landed in my lap of auditioning for WAPA, or the Aboriginal Theatre course. And I decided to give it a crack, and, you know, with no prior acting, singing, or any experience with dance or anything. And I loved it. It ignited a flame in me. And then since then, it's just kind of skyrocketed.
It's an intensive course though, isn't it? It's like, you know, you kind of think, well, you know, I'll go and do a bit of singing and dancing, but it's bam, it's kind of 9 to 5 every day and full on, and then rehearsals for additional productions. Was it an exciting time?
Oh, absolutely. And you're so out of your comfort zone. Yeah. I mean, you're learning Shakespeare, yeah. You know, and like the amount of hours you had to put in outside of those as well, was it was all worth it. I there's nothing more awesome for me to be able to tell story and impact an audience, whether to laugh, make them laugh, cry, or anything like that. It was a super powerful place to be in.
What was it like walking through the corridors of the WA Academy of Performing Arts? Because it's got such a strong history and you're seeing all these amazing faces on the walls as you walk through there. Was it inspiring?
Absolutely, especially when you see people you recognise and you know in community, and not just Aboriginal mob, but having the history there with some really famous actors that have gone through Hollywood. When you walk through those halls and you just look at the pictures on the wall, it's kind of like, yeah, I'm a part of that. You know, I'm a part of this journey and I'm the next generation coming up. So super inspiring.
And like-minded people who are into the arts. So you went through school, you went through the Aboriginal Performing Arts Program at WAPA. What then?
Yeah, really good question. I was actually a paid performer after WAPA. I travelled with Constable Care for probably about a year, year and a half. No one has really met. I don't really share that story much, honey, Jodie.
You're in a safe place.
Safe space, yeah. So it was really cool because we travelled all the way through WA, you know, teaching kids safety and, you know, and educating through a way through performing arts. So it was an awesome experience.
How would you relate to the kids? I'm presuming they're primary school kids?
Yeah, primary school kids mostly.
So give us a... give us a, you know, a little bit of a shot of what you do.
Oh, you're so funny. oh, look, so, for example, you know, you'd play real-life scenes that some of these kids might actually really relate with. So I kind of related with the kids. I was the kind of cool kind of guy. So I put my hat backward, you know, the baggy pants, and the shirt was loose. And as soon as I would walk out there on stage, I'd make sure I'd fist pump some of the kids as well. You know, create that connection before I entered the scene and delivered my lines. But I really played cool to connect. That was my thing.
And I guess, you know, when you've got characters like Constable Keir, it's all about building those relations and those trust issues, I guess, between, you know, mob and the police.
Oh, absolutely. There's always been, a bit of a gap between departments such as, you know, Western Australian Police Force and our community and how it's perceived in the media, etc. doesn't help. But it was great to be an positive person within both and actually share messages from both worlds so people could understand a lot better.
So how important do you think the arts is in getting messages across about serious issues?
I think it's so important because, I don't know about you, I don't really watch the news too much, or I try and stay away from social media, online and stuff like that when it comes to news and current affairs, but I'd be more than willing to sit down and hear a story if it's done through performance or arts or theatre and whatnot. I think it's just delivered like that is, you know, it's something that's a better way for me.
This is Mudditch Mag. Our guest in the studio this morning is Ash Penfold. Ash, I want to find out all about Corroboree for Life. You founded it. What is it?
Yeah, really good question. Well, Corroboree, nationally is known as coming together. Corroboree we use a lot more in dance context. But for me, 2017, 2018, even before that, I would always attend either funerals for our community, protests and whatnot. And I was just kind of like, why do we have to keep generating so much energy just for some simple rights or respect or our message to come across in a positive way? And Corroboree for Life started, I really wanted to enter the space of mental health and empowering our people and creating a platform for our people to come together. So we did the first ever Corroboree and Haka at an Anzac Day Dawn Service 2018, and it went viral, millions of views internationally. So I realised that we had something special, and I learned from my elders and did it properly in a way that when young people dance, you can just tell that something lights up in them. And I was like, there it is. That's why I created Corroboree for Life, to empower young people.
Oh, wow. So how did you find it? You talked about, you know, the haka happening as well with the Corroboree. It is powerful. I remember that in 2018, and it was very, very powerful. How did you feel after that? And what was the, you know, the vibe on the ground when it was taking place?
Oh, great question. I'll never forget. Because I was this shy little young fella, even though it was not that long ago. I remember when we were about to start and I was in my position and kind of crouched down. I had, I think, 10 men on one side, 10 on the other side, like a spearhead, and our beautiful women at the front ready to lead with the New Zealand haka mob behind us, right? And I looked down at the grass, took a breath. I looked to the left and there was a sea of people, like 10 back, I would say. I looked to the right and my mum was there. And I'll never forget it because I didn't think mum was actually going to come because, you know, she's got her own belief systems. And mum just whispered and said, "I'm really proud of you." And I looked back down at the grass and looked up and there was this eagle, wally, just circling. And in that moment, I was like, nah, I'm doing the right thing here.
Oh, that's amazing. That must inspire you when you see the impact that that can have to just go on. And as you say, you created Corroboree for Life. Tell us about some of the other work that you've been involved with that.
Well, yeah, so Corroboree for Life, we've done quite a bit. We do the Royal Show at times and I suppose corporate events, community stuff. We've travelled a little bit. Like I went to Malaysia, New Zealand Netherlands last year, or London as well, the Australian Embassy. So the Corroboree for Life has created opportunities internationally to share culture on that platform. But it's really about these young people, you know, our dancers, and to be able to inspire them to be leaders in this space through dance, performance and arts. There's so much opportunity that's come and also coming up still. Yeah, it's great.
If we're talking about the world stage, do you think that perceptions of our mob in Australia have been enhanced overseas? Like, you know, you could go back 10 years and people go, I've never seen an Aboriginal person. I don't know anything about Aboriginal culture. When you're performing in London or the Netherlands, what do people think? What do they say?
It's amazing. It's like that old Kylie Minogue effect. You know, yeah. You go get famous elsewhere, then come back to Australia. Yeah. And it was kind of like that. So I'll never forget. Sorry, I love telling the story. I'm playing Yudiki Dij, London. There's a fashion walkway in front of us, catwalk, and there's a sea of people on that side. I think Matilda's goalkeeper was there, and Australian Embassy reps and real high-up kind of people. And I played Dij, and I looked over to my right corner, and this old fella over there, obviously local to England, he was just in tears. Like, he was that moved by this ancient instrument sound and what we brought to that stage. It was just... You know, it had an impact. And what I find when I travel around the world is people love it. Like, you feel famous. Like, you get photos with people and they're like, tell me more. Like, what is that you're wearing? And you can explain it. And I'll share one more story. I'll never forget. I'm in Malacca. It's a world championship martial arts tournament. And I was a flag bearer there also. So I had the Australian flag and Aboriginal flag. And... A lot of community that were around the world didn't know what that flag was, the Aboriginal flag. And I got to tell them, this is what this means and whatnot. And they said, wow, that's the original Australian flag. And I thought, wow, educating, you know.
Oh, it is educating. I'm talking with Ash Penfold on the Mudditch Mag program this morning. You're a key contributor to this year's Ma Kujel, 7-week program of First Nations art and cultural experiences at Rain Square. Tell us about that.
Yeah, beautiful. It's really an opportunity to showcase culture, empower our young people that are going to dance, and also, I suppose, educate in a way that's real fun and informative, and, you know, have all sorts of people that walk that street or that will Rain Square to come in and learn a little bit. So I'm looking forward to it.
It's really picked up the city now. I think, you know, we've got Yagan Square and we've got events like this taking place between the 27th of May and the 13th of July. You're going to be leading some Dij performances and active dance workshops. So this is for the general public to just turn up and enjoy?
Yep, general public. So, yep, you can come along. I'd love for a stranger to... you know, learn the emu dance, the wage dance, you know, or just sit down and just enjoy the sounds of the Dij and our young people speaking and leading it. So anyone's invited.
It's interesting when you have these public performances like this and you do get a range of people from the tiniest little feet who jump up and then to the oldest people. How does that make you feel when you're able to share your own cultural knowledge and dance and share, you know, art through music?
It's a really good question. For me, it's all about keeping our stories alive, keeping culture alive, that kala we're in, that fire spirit. And, you know, sharing culture for me is about, you know, it still thrives today. You know, there's no like, oh, it's a long time ago, it's traditional days. No, it's an evolution. We're evolving. We're still here. We're still representing. We're still super proud to, you know, be in this world through food, dance and connection and help build a real understanding and trust between Aboriginal and non as well. So
We're talking about Sorry Day earlier in the program, and I remember, you know, being at the WA Aboriginal Media Association in the early 1990s, and we you know, our record collection consisted of, you know, some George Jones and Dolly Parton and Kenny Rogers and our first Aboriginal album was Archie Roach, Took the Children Away. And there wasn't much around then, you know, and if you look now and you kind of go, look, this is getting on to 40 years later, the amount of, you know, expression that we get to do ourselves. We've found our voice. Mm. We've been given a voice. We're writing our stories. We're just moving ahead so much because we've, you know, got through all of those barriers that have held us down in the past because people didn't want to hear us. You must be proud to be part of that and just keep it moving forward.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it gets me up in the morning. Yeah. You know, I'm like really proud of our community, especially our elders and whatnot, and to be able to just share that knowledge and have that trust. It's a huge responsibility that I'm grateful to be able to share through dance and performance. And it makes me tear up because it's like, you know, we've struggled for so long. And, yeah, there's good and bad even to date, you know. But I'm always grateful because I sit down for a moment, take a breath and go, if it's like that for me now, especially with social media and the good and the bad, can you imagine what it was like back in the days? Like, you know, they didn't, our old people didn't give up, so neither am I.
You're talking earlier about Anzac Day and saying that, you know, there you were this shy kid in 2018. A lot of our mob, you know, might feel a bit shame about coming forward and doing stuff, but what would you tell them about, you know, once you step forward, it's all good from there?
It's a really good question because I still get shame. I think I still get shy. Like, I was anxious on my way here to do this interview. But the difference is for me is I still take action anyway.
Yeah.
And I think no matter what, if I could say anything to our people, our community, especially our young people, you're going to feel certain ways. It's normal. But it doesn't, you know, get in the way of you still walking forward. It's separate. And I hope that kind of makes sense there. It's like I can feel a certain way and still take action. And I'm going to keep doing that. So for our young people, it's... It's a culture that hooks me, and I'm hoping that could be a thing that hooks our young people too.
So what else is coming up on the agenda for you, Ash?
Oh, I've got some, you know, yeah, I'm so excited. I've got some big things. Obviously, the Rain Square stuff, the Michael Jewell, whatnot. We've got a program that we're running with Tourism WA, a little shout out there. We've got 20 young Aboriginal kids from 17 to 19, and we're giving him an opportunity to open Gather Foods as well, the hospitality and tourism, to see if it sparks up any kind of career drive for them. So we'll open up the kitchen, you know, show them how to, you know, the kitchen theory, the waiting etiquette, and give these kids an opportunity over 4 weeks to see if they like it or not. So and give employment opportunities. So that's a program I'm working on now, which is exciting.
It sounds very collaborative, very sharing, and the way us mob do stuff, hey?
Always, always. It's my favourite thing.
All right. Look, Michael Jewell is coming up 27th of May to 13th of July in Rain Square. Just do a final spruik for it. What can people expect when they head into the city for that?
Well, that's the thing. I would love to give you like this inspiring thing, but I never script anything. I never know what it's going to look like. And what I do get connected with, though, is whatever the ancestors need or the message that I need to give will come, and you'll expect some awesome sounds, our young people leading, and just this warm, safe environment to learn basic language, culture and dance.
Beautiful. Michael Jewell, an immersive 7-week art and culture series returns to Rain Square to celebrate National Reconciliation Week and NAIDOC Week. And it's returning for another great year, 7 weeks of First Nations arts and interactive cultural experiences. And we've got NAIDOC coming up. And, you know, we are the host city for the first time in 9 years. So all of the, you know, they're going to be biggest mob flying in from everywhere else because they want to be part of what Perth will put on. It'd be amazing. Are you involved in NAIDOC Week stuff this year?
Oh, possibly. I definitely got the aunties and stuff on the committee and the uncles, and I've been in their ear going, hey, any spare tickets?
So, I know. Well, you know, make it a couple of tickets, all right? Tickets go on sale on the 16th of May. But Ash Penfold, it's been a delight to have a yarn with you on the Moorditch Mag program today. Thanks for sharing your stories and your time with us.
Thank you, Auntie, for having me, and Broda One, I'll see you soon.
See you soon. This is Moorditch Mag. Yeah, Ziggy Ramo and Who We Are. And before that, Charlie Needs Braces and Wampoo. This is the Moorditch Mag program, 92.1 RTR FM. Jodie Hoffman in the studio with you this week. Good to have your company and excited to have a yarn with my next guest, multi-award-winning artist, filmmaker, actor, muso, performer, speaker, teacher. The list just goes on and on. Carla Hart, welcome to Moorditch Mag. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Oh, look, always good to have a yarn with you, Carla. And on this program, we always start off by saying, where you from, who's your mob?
I'm from Noongarrup, so my mob are the Gorang and Minang people from down south. And my grandfather's country is Wilman, but I'm Noongar, and I live in Perth in Boorloo. I'm in Alice Springs at the moment, actually. We're filming the second series for our medicine, which we're going to yarn about today.
We are going to yarn about our medicine. And, look, this is going to show, you know, an incredible insight into all the work that we've done in, you know, claiming back our own health and looking after mob. But before we talk about this exciting documentary, Just tell us a little bit about Carla Hart and some of the stuff that you've been involved in over the years, Carla.
Well, I studied at WAPA and ECU. Obviously, like, well, a lot of people know me from Noongar Radio back in the day. I have a theatre background, performing arts. I run a dance group. And I've been in the film industry for, I think, around 16 years now. So some of my projects are Family Rules, On Country Kitchen, Yokai Footy, Virtual Wodjak. I've done quite a bit of work now. On any given day, I'll probably answer that really differently. But yeah, I mean, yeah, I love working with my mob and showcasing mob as well.
I want to know, because you're always involved in so many different projects, where you get your energy and your zest from, Carla?
I think, you know, that old saying, do something you love, you'll never work a day in your life.
Yeah.
You might get a little tired sometimes, but generally, like, I feel like it's joyous, you know, to do the things that I get to do, and I feel blessed and grateful. And, you know, I come from very humble beginnings, and so there's not a day that goes by that I'm not grateful for where I am in life and the travel that I get to do and the communities and the people that I get to know. So, yeah, it's always like leading with a grateful heart, you know, and understanding that I dreamed of this when I was a kid. So, yeah.
We just spoke before you to Ash Penfold and got that same energy from him, Carla, about just, you know, being so excited about, you know, sharing culture and knowledge and inspiring others to do stuff as well.
Yeah, 1,000%. And, you know, constantly being inspired as well by not just older people, but young people that are out there doing their deadly things, kids that stand tall and, you know, like, walk with pride within culture as well. Beautiful to see.
So you're in Alice Springs for the second series of Our Medicine. It's going to screen on NITV on the 29th of May, the National yep. Indigenous TV. Tell us about Our Medicine.
So Our Medicine is a series about Indigenous, so Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander health professionals that work within our health systems. And also we cover bush medicine and spiritual healing. And really, it's about Black excellence. It's not about the struggle. We know that we have huge gaps to close, especially in health. But this is about looking at the incredible people and communities that are trailblazing and doing work that, you know, is carrying on, like, legacies and making change in community. So, you know, we followed like an Indigenous paramedic like duo. There's a heap up in Yarrabah of mob that are doing it up there, and the first Aboriginal ophthalmologist, Dr. Chris Rolla Baker, and his surgeries with Deadly Vision, which is the Aboriginal optometry service. We've been liaison officers with Wound and Health in Kununurra, which is the only Indigenous practices. Like, we obviously have Aboriginal medical services, but it's an Aboriginal run GP clinic that services the entire community. And then, you know, we've also been up to Fitzroy Crossing and filmed with the ladies doing spiritual healing up there that want all mob to be able to come up there if they need that spiritual healing, and not only mob whitefellas or, you know, from different backgrounds and all of that as well. So, you know, it really is about showcasing Black excellence and, you know, a window into the world of some of these people and communities around the country, and hopefully inspiring mob to get into that medical field or, you know, do some of the things that are happening around the country in their own communities as well. And just to make, you know, make ourselves proud of how far we've come in such a short amount of time, because often that's thrown around that, you know, we're still stuck in dark ages or not progressing and all of those kind of things. But if you think about how fresh our history is and think about some of the incredible people in our communities, like, we've leaps and bounds, you know, doing incredible stuff.
It must be an incredible insight into, you know, what's happening in different communities in health, and must feel quite an honour to be able to witness that firsthand, Carla.
Oh, it's such an honour and blessing. And, you know, wherever I go, I go with, you know, as much the utmost respect that I could have for people. And, you know, I mean, in Yarrabah up there, they were like, went out and got me mud crabs, and I ate dugong and turtle for the first time. And, you know, they look after me, and I'm welcome to come back. And it's just so much like learning, you know, about all the different like mobs and tribe names and those sorts of things, and their country and their food. And, you know, even being up here, we're about to head out bush, you know, which will be in the new series. But like, these guys produce, you know, mass amounts of bush medicine that actually goes through strict protocol and guidelines to go through the hospital system.
Wow.
And we're heading out bush with them. And yeah, it's just such beautiful sights into worlds. And yeah, I couldn't be more grateful. And obviously, like, we have an incredible team as well. The team behind our medicine, with Periscope Pictures, and it came from Taryn Lafar and Sam Bodie Field from Our Law. We have a lot of working behind the scenes on the show as well. So yeah, I mean, all in all, like, it's just like a, such a great team around the whole project. And obviously, we couldn't do it without support of Screen West, Screen Australia, and of course NRTV.
Yeah, and it's narrated by screen icon Leah Purcell, the incredible Leah. And but you're a co-director and producer of Our Medicine, the series. What's a typical day on set look like for you, Carla?
Yeah, so I'm directing again with Kimber Benjamin. She's out on, we can't do all the shoots, you know, because there's so many, so we split them up. So today, you know, I mean, no real typical day on us, but like, we always come in, when we come into community and we sit down and introduce ourselves properly first and have fun. We don't just hear and just think we're going to put a camera up into people's faces and it's going to be great. So, you know, it's about like sharing food, having yarn, like, you know, getting to know people. And then, so today, that's what we've been doing. You know, it's different time schedule with our mob. We don't expect to rush people and make them be on our schedule as well, so we allow for that. So, you know, just sort of explaining to mob about, you know, being themselves and not looking at the camera and yarning and looking at me when I'm talking and miking people up. And this morning, like, it's all about bush medicine. So we got some grinding of the plant that they're using, and we're yarning about where that plant, where they get it from, and, you know, what, how long they've been using that plant for. So, you know, there's no real typical day. It depends what the story is and how we're going to do the story. So, you know, without it, it's also a medical show, so we have to make sure that we're not doing profile pieces on things, but it really is like the story of, you know, whatever it may be in terms of, like, say, if paramedics or how they service the community, how they use their Aboriginality, their kinship, their lingo, all of that, you know, their language, to create better, safer spaces for our mob coming into the medical system. So we're really focused on that. So depending on what story we're shooting, you know, that's sort of, you know, depends on how we go about it, I guess.
I guess for a lot of the people involved in it, it's their first time on camera?
Yes, yeah, and they get a bit shame. And, you know, we've got to tell them, you know, it's all right, you can tell us later, like, hey, Carla, I don't want that on there, or don't, what I just said, I feel a bit, you know, no good about that, or shame, or I don't think it was right. And that's, you know, we're here to protect people as well. I'm a community person. I know what it's like, and I know there's backlash for things that are said that might be taken out of context. So, you know, 1,000%, we always, like, let them have a look and see and make sure that they're all right with things, and make sure, like, anything they're doing, like, it goes through. Even, like, so the ambulance officers, everything went through Queensland Ambulance Service, make sure all the procedural stuff is right as well, you know, that, so no one's getting put out there or exploited or, you know, sort of used in that way. And it's just about making them feel comfortable, you know.
Tell us about some of the expressions you're hearing when they see themselves on camera for the first time.
Oh, they'll look all maybe bumpy, or, you know, and say, hey, main actor here, or, like, you know, some of them be like, oh, I'm the next Black James Bond, and, you know, like, you know, our mob, they're proper cheeky, and we like to roast each other as well, you know, tease each other, so... Yeah, lots of funny, you know, little expressions here and there.
Oh, look, I think we've been waiting for a long time for a series like this, Carla Hart, because Our Medicine will show the importance of culturally safe health options for our mob. A lot would not feel comfortable going into mainstream services. Things might not be done the right way and people feel culturally unsafe. But the other thing is that, you know, a lot of people might not be aware, but the life expectancy for First Nations people in Australia is approximately 8 years lower than of non-Indigenous Australians.
That's right.
So, you know, chronic and respiratory, heart, kidney diseases, diabetes, the list goes on.
It's
an important show.
It is. Even, like, filming up in Queensland for the series that it's about to air, you know, with Dr. Tatum Bond, who is sort of like the emergency department, and we're all flying doctors as well. Like, we're 10% of the population in Queensland, but we're actually 30% of the people that present to emergency up there.
Wow.
So that's huge. And to know that there's mob on the other side, you know, because a lot of people don't come back for aftercare or follow-up care as well, but they do when there's more mob involved in the medical system. And you know, that's what we want, you know, Australia to see, government to see, people in the powers that be with the money, you know, that you know, have the money to service these, you know, these positions and these organisations, to see that they'll get much better outcomes when it's led by mobs. And we can lead and do it as well. We can do it. We can do better for our people because we know our people.
And, you know, note that it's presenting the stories from a strength base rather than focusing on those health disparities. I guess it's going to inspire a lot of our mob to get involved in the health profession as well.
I hope so. I feel like it will, because it's such an exciting and fun, you know, so many of the careers, like even when we were filming the ambulance officers in Yarrabah, we didn't do a 10-hour day. We were 24 hours on call with them. So we'd get up in the middle of the night and, you know, cruise in the ambulance to the places. And, you know, I reckon it's just so deadly. It just makes me so proud, honestly. Like, I'm just filled with pride and admiration for all these people that work within our systems, even, like, you know, like our liaison officers, you know. Like, if they weren't there to make people feel comfortable, a lot of people would walk out them doors of the hospital, you know.
Yeah.
And just little things, you know, that make a culturally safe space. And I think people will really see, like, how much that's needed, and that, you know, that they can do that too. They can get out there, change careers. A lot of our mob, as you know, even later in life will want to change career. So, yeah, like, not just young fellas. I feel like there'll be a lot of people that go, hey, you know, that looks fun. I want to do that.
Carla Hart is my guest, and we're talking about our medicine, and it's a Carla Hart Enterprises and Periscope Pictures production for NITV, screening on the 29th of May. How many in the series, Carla?
6 episodes.
Okay, so give us some of the locations that we can look forward to seeing.
So Darwin, Kununurra, Fitzroy Crossing, Sydney, so New South Wales. There's some community locations, Yarrabah as well, Cairns. Yeah, so all over the place.
All over the place. What will you tell our listeners that they can expect from our medicine?
I think, you know, like, it's a medical show, but it's done our way. So there's a bit of humour and there's a lot of heart. And it really is a window into worlds all around Australia that you would never necessarily see through, you know, a really intimate lens as well. I mean, you know, you're going into the world of these people, and you hear and feel their heart and how much they care of community.
So it's
a fun series as well, and, you know, being shot all around Australia, it just shows how diverse we are as well.
Let's have a look. We're just going to go to a trailer of our medicine, so stay on the line, Carla.
Yep.
From the early days of colonisation, First Nations people in Australia have been locked in a catastrophic cycle of poor health outcomes.
We're seeing across the board Indigenous people with a lot of health problems. The gaps that we need to see changing aren't changing.
With higher incidences of chronic disease, there remains a significant gap between Indigenous and and non-Indigenous life expectancy.
I believe that it has to come from community for it to better our people.
Today, with a medical system in desperate need of reform, these are stories of change, of connection and of inspiration.
I think that it's really important for anyone to be understood and to feel that trust and connection with the person supporting them.
In simple words, it's to have a non-judgmental healthcare space that understands and cares for that person.
With our strength and our culture and our unity, we can make a difference and we can do amazing things.
From maintaining and reviving cultural practices,
we need to keep it going,
to making their mark inside our overburdened health system, these are the First Nations medical practitioners and traditional healers blazing trails towards a stronger future.
Our culture does have a specific place in medicine, and it's just as strategic as a stethoscope.
Wow. There's an excerpt from Our Medicine. Oh, you must be excited, Carla.
Oh, I'm so excited. I can't wait to see what everyone thinks, honestly.
Oh, look, congratulations to yourself and everyone else involved in the making of Our Medicine. The first in the series of six stars starts on NITV and SBS On Demand from the 29th of May, screening at 7:30 in the evening. Carla, thank you so much for your time. I know how busy you are. And before we let you go, I know you'll know that Boorloo is the host city for NAIDOC celebrations this year, first time in 9 years. Are you excited for that?
I'm so excited. Here's hoping I can get bloody ticket. I'm sure it's going to be sold out so quick, very exciting.
You're not kidding. Well, you are all the way in Alice Springs. Have you got a shout out for mob here in Perth, Boorloo?
Oh, yeah, I love my Perth mob. I mean, I've worked away, you know, quite a bit over the years with Yoko. I've been in Melbourne, you know, and I will never move. I love my community and I love my country over there. So I hope everyone's going steady, double current, and taking it easy and, you know, feeling good. Finding some glimmers, you know. I know that today is a tough day too. Like, I know that the verdict just came out for Cassius Turvey, rest in peace. Yeah. So I'm sending my love to, like, all the family and all the friends of Cassius and everyone, friends of Michelle and the family. I know it's a really, really tough day and it's really triggering for so many of us, and I'm just sending all that love. Beautiful. Yeah, to everybody.
Carla, thanks for joining us on Mooditj Mag. All the best. Congratulations on all of the work you do. You're an absolute inspiration. You take care.
Thank you. See you. Take care. Bye.
Bye. Carla Hart here on the Mooditj Mag program. We are almost out of time, but a couple of announcements I want to let you know. We did mention NAIDOC Week. The theme for NAIDOC this year, the next generation, strength, vision and legacy. And as I mentioned, Boorloo is the host city for the 2025 NAIDOC Awards. That means if you're lucky enough to get tickets, it will be amazing. If you don't, it will be screened nationally. Tickets go on sale on the 16th of May. Also coming up as part of National Reconciliation Week, RTRFM are presenting a free screening of the award-winning documentary Genocide in the Wildflower State. Now, this documentary, as you would have heard about many times here on Mooditj Mag, was produced by Yokai and Bringing Them Home WA. So mark your calendars. Sunday, the 1st of June at Luna Leaderville. Doors open at 10:30 a.m. Film starts at 11 a.m. followed by a Q&A led by Yokai founder and Mooditj Mag host Jim Morrison. Jennifer in the Wildflower State is an award-winning 59-minute documentary about a violent, state-run system of eugenics, racial absorption and social assimilation in 20th century Western Australia. It is a free event, but you need to register your attendance via Austic. So good on RTR getting behind that as well. It's been an absolute pleasure to be in the chair with you today, filling in for Jim Morrison. Thank you for your company and for tuning into this gorgeous program each Thursday at 11 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your day on RTRFM. Thank you to my guests, Carla Hart and Ash Penfold. And plenty of stuff coming up for National Reconciliation Week. Don't forget Sorry Day on the 26th of May. And, of course, NAIDOC Week in July. Take care.